That's What I'm Worried About. Written by Valiant Skeleton. Read by Flying Falcon. B-Dubs was doing homework at the kitchen counter. Well, doing homework may have been an exaggeration, but in his defense, his color theory professor was awful and assigned hours worth of what was essentially busy work. He was tired of jamming random splotches of paint next to each other to see that, yes, in fact, the colors looked slightly different when put by each other. Who would have thunk? It's almost like simultaneous contrast was a well-documented phenomenon or something. Stupid. And he wasn't sure how he was meant to focus when Etho was missing. Well, missing may have been an exaggeration, but the doorknob turned. Beto spun to face the door. Beef was at work and Doc was in class. Cleo had been given a key for emergencies, but they would never come over without at least texting first. No one else had a key, which meant it had to be Etho! He almost knocked over his stool with the speed he got up to greet the man. He waved his fingers disapprovingly. No call, no text, no note, worried us all sick. He stopped a few feet short, lurching forward with inertia. Etho ignored him as he shut the door behind him and pressed a hand against the wall as he kicked off his shoes. Onto a piece of cardboard that lived in their entryway, which Beef had written, "E's Disgusting Work Shoes," on with permanent marker to keep the gross residue of grease and dropped food that coated them from getting anywhere else in the apartment. If you weren't back by tonight, Beef was going to call the police. Nice to see you too, Dubs. He unceremoniously dropped his messenger bag onto the floor. B-Dubs huffed. Sorry, said Etho. There was something genuine in his tone. My phone died. Forgot my charger here. Excuses. Well, where were you then? You finally get laid? Work. Wow. He must have been in a really bad mood to pass up an opportunity for an Aero Ace joke. He was still in his work uniform, even if he'd thrown a loose vest over it. B-Dubs could smell the grease on him from here. You've been gone since 7 in the morning yesterday. He shrugged. I had class straight through from 8 to 4:30. B-Dubs would never understood why Etho had chosen to format his class schedule that way. Freaking masochist. Then I worked from 5 to close, but I picked up an opening shift because I need the hours, and it wasn't worth the 45-minute walk back just here just to turn around. The buses don't run that late or early, so I figured I'd just crash in one of the booths. B-Dubs hoped his glare conveyed just how much of a terrible idea he thought that was. I got permission from the closing manager, said Etho. All the doors were locked, it wasn't like it was unsafe. He still hadn't taken his hand off of where he was supporting himself on the wall. I was planning to go straight to my 2:30 tech class, but I left early because I realized I don't have my textbook with me. Probably should shower anyway. Ortanga won't let me sit at the lab bench with him. B-Dubs wrinkled his brow. So you've been going straight for 30 hours? Had he done the math right? I mean, I slept in the booth for like 2 hours. B-Dubs doubted he'd even gotten that much. His entire being, from his voice to the bags under his eyes to the slump of his shoulders to the foggy look in his eye, read exhaustion. You work too much, he settled on. Etho let out a noise that could have been a laugh in a different context. Well, if I don't manage to pick up another shift or two, I'm not going to make rent this month, so... I can spot you. Etho, predictably, shook his head. You need every cent for the top surgery fund. Speaking of which, he finally took his hand off the wall and stumbled to the other side of the entryway. He pulled out a wad of coins and dollar bills from his front pocket and dropped them into the boob jar. Where Doc had found a jar the size of a desk chair that was shaped like a shockingly realistic pair of boobs was anyone's guess. It even had a little stretch mark shaped indent. Why Doc had purchased it was an even worse question. But it felt fitting enough, if ironic, to keep an apartment that housed exactly zero people who were attracted to women. It wasn't the most tasteful thing to have the first thing visitors saw when they walked in the door, nor was it very safe to have a large collection of cash out in the open in their sketchy-ass apartment, but it was theirs. And it was nice. It was nice to see the slow but steady progress in their mission to get B-Dub surgery. It was nice to see them dropping whatever they could spare into the jar at the end of each day or week or month. It was nice when Cleo had come over just to drop several $100s in it after the best night of tips she'd ever had. It was nice when Pungence had mailed him the $50 in cash that he'd gotten as a birthday money from the grandmother. It was nice to see this thing that he'd longed for so much that his lungs ached was increasingly in reach. It was nice that his friends cared. Utterly unacceptable for Etho to add to it. You were just talking about how you need all the money you can get. He, yet again, shrugged. You know I'm not supposed to accept tips. It's not my money. It's that random guy in the drive-thru who told me to keep the change. This guy. Etho took a few more steps towards the bathroom. I'm gonna go wash this fry grease off me. And then he tripped, seemingly on nothing, and B-Dubs barely closed the distance between them in time to catch him. Etho heaved and didn't pull away, which was frankly more concerning than him falling in the first place. Etho despised unexpected touch. B-Dubs lowered them both to the floor. He may have been very big and strong and tall, just not quite enough to support Etho's full body weight for more than a few seconds. He pulled away enough to look at the man, though he kept his hands on his shoulders. He was blinking hazily at him. Etho, Schnookums, when was the last time you ate something? His nose scrunched, causing his mask to hike up slightly. The customers were saying the smoothies tasted weird sometime this morning. Or last night. So I tried a bit to see if I could figure out what was wrong with the machine. He tilted his head to the side, and it felt a little less intentional and more like he didn't have enough energy to keep it up. Had to fix the sugar thing in the machine and then replace all their smoothies. It was a bit of a nightmare. It was a miracle that Etho had managed to keep himself alive this long. B-Dubs was going to kill him. Yeah, okay, you're not going to class. Etho sat up straighter. What? He tried to push himself up on one hand, then winced. You need a nap and a full meal. I can't miss class because I'm tired from my job that I'm using to pay for class. That defeats the point of having a job. Shower, food, nap. This is non-negotiable. Etho pouted. It didn't matter that B-Dubs couldn't see half of his face. He could tell. You know I'm fine as long as I've got momentum. I don't have any classes tomorrow. After I close tonight, I'll get some sleep. I swear. You're closing again tonight? B-Dubs clutched his shoulders tighter. We are sitting on the floor outside our bathroom because you're too tired to stand. Momentum, meat, lost. You're not going to class, and you're not going to work tonight. But I will call Doc to tie you down. Kinky, said Etho. B-Dubs rolled his eyes. Doc's in class. Oh, he'll come if I tell him why. Etho squinted. B-Dubs decided to take that as a challenge. He knew he wasn't physically strong enough to stop Etho from leaving if he really wanted to, but Doc was. He was also better than B-Dubs at being calm and reasonable when dealing with Etho's antics. He pulled out his phone to call him. Straight to voicemail. Etho had the audacity to smirk. He called a second time. Ring, ring, ring. Crackle. Hello? Hiya, Doc. Etho's expression dropped. B-Dubs, I'm in calc. What do you need? Etho's home. He's dead on his feet, but he wants to turn around and go to class. He's not listening, because he's the worst. Can you? I'll be there in 20. 10 if the bus goes by. B-Dubs grinned. Thanks, Doc. Etho grumbled something about taking a shower before Doc got there. He was up and closing the bathroom door before B-Dubs could get a word in. It was almost troubling that he hadn't argued more with the idea of Doc coming. B-Dubs almost pounded on the door, worried that he'd pass out in the shower or something, but he didn't want to be too overbearing. Hard to believe, he knew. He shot a quick message to Beef saying that Etho was home and fine, if fine meant not technically actively dying. He then attempted to go back to his homework. He was wildly unsuccessful, too busy chewing anxiously on his fingernails. When Doc got there, about 15 minutes later, having caught the bus at the second stop he walked past, Etho was still in the shower. He's gonna freak out if we offer to cover rent for him, he said before he was even all the way through the door. He stepped over Etho's dropped bag. This was why B-Dubs liked Doc. He was with it. Already tried. Can't imagine what he'd do if I said he wouldn't have to pay me back. Where is he? Shower. B-Dub's fiddled with the cuffs of his hoodies. I'm worried about him. This can't be sustainable. Heh, sus. Doc walked back over and put his hand on his shoulder. Don't worry, he'll bounce back. This is just how Etho is. Yeah, that's what I'm worried about. He heard the water turn off. Doc did too, judging by the way his head turned to face the bathroom door. A minute or two later, which B-Dubs had used to fill Doc in on the basics of what had happened, Etho stepped out of the bathroom, donning only a towel around his waist and a new, non-grease-stained, black face mask. It was certainly a look. The only thing B-Dubs could focus on was how visible his ribs were getting. It hadn't been this bad since the beginning of the freshman year. He had a hand in his hair ruffling out the water drops. His hair looked more silver-gray than white when it was wet. You're not stopping me from going to class, he said. I know, said Doc. B-Dub shot him a deeply affronted look. You function so much on routine that making you skip it would probably do more harm than good. I can force food and water down your throat before you leave, though. And I can tell beef on you, and with all of our power combined, we might be able to keep you from going to work tonight. If I call out, they'll cut my hours. I already don't have enough. I'd have to get a second job, and there's nowhere hiring within walking distance. At least not this time of year, and not paying as much as I need, which means I'll have to take the bus, and you know how the buses are, and... Okay, okay. Doc put his hands up in surrender. We can talk about it after your class. Just food, for now. Etho glanced down at himself. Can I put on clothes first? Someone who didn't know Etho very well would likely interpret that as snark. B-Dubs knew that there was about a 50-50 chance that it was a genuine question. Though, to be fair, he wouldn't put it past Doc to wrestle Etho into the kitchen in just a towel. Doc waved a flippant hand. Go on. Etho scampered off. By the time he came back, B-Dubs was clearing the counter of his paints by lazily throwing them on the corner of the coffee table, which was admittedly not the best place for them. And Doc was putting three more of those stupid microwavable grilled cheeses that Beef was obsessed with from the vending machines downstairs onto plates, with reheated tomato soup to go with it. The soup was homemade, the tomatoes having been borrowed by Doc from the university greenhouse. B-Dubs felt weird. He didn't like it when they got like this. It was too quiet, but for once, he didn't think that his rambling to fill the space would help. Not that it usually actually helped, but it made him feel better. Etho was in gray sweatpants and a faded blue hoodie that completely dwarfed him. Probably one of Beef's or Doc's. Eating with Etho was always a little strange. What with his aversion to being seen without a mask on, there was a reason why their family dinners happened on the couch watching TV, lights out. As it was, Doc and B-Dubs did their best to avert their eyes that Etho would actually eat. B-Dubs didn't really get the mask thing. Not that anyone but Etho himself seemed to. B-Dubs had, in fact, caught glimpses of Etho's face, which appeared to be perfectly normal, but he'd long since learned not to question these sorts of things about his friend. B-Dubs glanced at the clock. 45 minutes until Etho's class started. If he was remembering which building it was incorrectly, that meant Etho would need to leave in about 20 minutes. They couldn't have been eating for more than 3 minutes when Doc broke the silence. What's wrong with your hand? I don't know what you're talking about. B-Dubs looked up startled. You're eating with your left hand, pressed Doc. You're right-handed. That was such a Doc thing to notice. He was right, though. B-Dubs racked his brain trying to remember which hand Etho had propped himself up on the wall with. Which had he used to put the cash in the boob jar? Which had he used to ruffle his hair after getting out of the shower? He had no clue. He wasn't like Doc. He didn't notice these things. Etho put down his grilled cheese and pulled his mask back up over his nose. It's fine. Etho, maybe I'm practicing to become ambidextrous. Etho. B-Dubs felt like a bobblehead, whipping his head back and forth between his roommates. Drop it, Doc. Show me your hand. It's fine, Etho. Etho slowly, resentfully, pulled his right hand up and let it rest on the counter. And B-Dubs almost barfed up his grilled cheese. His hand was charred, basically, all the way to his fingertips and most of the way to his wrist joint. It was leaking some yellowish pus. Angry red blisters littered the skin, making it look like it was covered in bubbles, if bubbles were evil. The places that weren't blistering were closer to the color of charcoal. B-Dubs didn't know much about burns, but he could tell this was bad. He knew exactly which paints he would use for it, what style he would compose it in. Though he would paint Etho's face, desaturated and gaunt, cool undertones in contrast to the brightness of the burn, the way the colors he'd pick for Etho's hand would be intentionally jarring from the rest of the portrait. It would be the only red, apart from maybe the scar that adorned his face. He could make it jarring in style, too. He could see something more impressionist working. Maybe his art classes weren't quite as pointless as he thought. Etho, Doc breathed. It's fine, Etho said, though the lie felt more pitiful now. How long had Etho been hiding this? Not long, right? How would B-Dubs not noticed? How long would he have hidden it if Doc hadn't called him out? Would he ever have said anything? Etho moved to put his hand back under the counter. No. Doc lurched forward across the counter. Let me see it. He held it tenderly, resting it on his prosthetic hand and examining it with his other. How did this happen? Etho winced. I was going to wrap it before I leave for class. I was just letting it dry off from the shower first. That wasn't my question. It was my own stupid fault? Also not the question. Etho yanked his hand away, cradling it to his chest. I dropped a piece of chicken in the fryer and reached in to grab it without thinking. Like an idiot. Maybe because you've been going for more than 24 hours straight, thought B-Dubs. Doc sighed. Please tell me that you at least did basic treatment when it happened. Etho looked away. Dude. The first aid kit with burn cream is locked in the safe, and I don't know the code. The store manager doesn't like it when you use it because then she has to file a report and replace whatever we used. She thinks we use it for non-emergencies too much. And submerging your hand in burning oil doesn't count as an emergency to her? That's gotta be illegal, B-Dubs chimed in. Doc was livid. B-Dubs could see it in the set of his shoulders. He could also see it in the way he was holding himself back, because Etho, being the self-deprecating bastard he was, would likely interpret it as anger at him. I put mustard on it, Etho muttered. Doesn't even hurt that bad. Doc's shoulders slumped. Etho, this needs medical attention. You're pre-med. Can't you patch it up? No. We need to take you to urgent care. You should have gone the moment this happened. And Etho laughed, a hysterical, breath-stealing sort of laugh that made B-Dubs wonder if the lack of sleep and pain in his hand were affecting him even more than he'd let on. Yeah, and I'd pay for that with what money? He said through the giggles. Doc hesitated. I'll spot you? I don't have insurance, dude. You don't have that type of money. None of us do, because we live in a hellscape. We can break into the top surgery fund, interjected B-Dubs. Etho's expression turned stone cold. It was almost scarier than the laughing. No, absolutely not. This is serious, man, Doc practically yelled. A burn like that almost definitely needs a skin graft. It's going to get infected if you don't treat it. That's a risk I'll have to take then. Listen to me, dude. No, you listen to me, Doc. I don't have the money. I'll let you DIY it, but I am not going to the hospital. If you make me, I will never talk to you again. B-Dubs looked at the jagged scar that ran from Etho's forehead, through his eye, and down into his mask. B-Dubs knew it went past his chin. B-Dubs looked at this and thought that Etho's aversion to hospitals might have more contributing factors than just money. With an expense like that, I would have to choose between paying tuition and paying rent. His voice was shaking. He and Doc stared at each other for a few intensely awkward seconds. B-Dubs still felt nauseated. Compromise, Doc finally spoke. You skip class. I'll make sure Tango gets you notes. You let me take care of your hand. You call out of work tonight. And in exchange, I won't drag your ass to urgent care. It was a terrible compromise, and they all knew it. None of them would want to be the one to explain it to Beef later. It was putting Etho at risk, but what else could they do? After a few long moments, Etho said, "Okay. Deal." Doc stood. "I'll get the first aid kit." While Doc did that, B-Dubs moved silently to hug Etho from behind. He didn't even remember standing up. It was the wrong move, and he knew it. Etho didn't like hugs, much less unannounced ones, but B-Dubs didn't know what else to do. Words were hard, and Etho was hurting in more ways than one, and B-Dubs couldn't fix it. "I'm okay, buddy." Etho patted his shoulder with his non-burnt hand before moving in to cup his cheek. "Just an average week for good old Etho here. I'll bounce back." B-Dubs tilted his nose into Etho's still damp hair. The shampoo he used was the cheapest any of them could find, and thus left his naturally fluffy hair feeling somewhat coarse and smelling strongly of some plasticky artificial citrus scent. "I know," said B-Dubs. "That's what I'm worried about." This has been That's What I'm Worried About, written by Valiant Skeleton, read by Flying Falcon. Fly safe out there.